Matt, you went to many spring trainings. Do you want to rain on the parade here a little bit? Like, how meaningful or important, how much does it mean to see a 19-year-old who's trying to make the roster hit 450-foot home runs in spring training games?
Well, things sure got interesting today, right? This is what the Pirate fans wanted, and kind of changes the early thoughts of what's going to happen to start the season. You know, it's funny, you know, as I'm sitting there seeing him in Boston, like I was in Boston, nervous as can be, signing as a free agent with them as a 29-year-old. And today I'm watching a 19-year-old hit a 450-foot bomb off of but I think what's meaningful about it is the first one's off Ranger Suarez, one of the better pitchers in baseball, one of the better lefties. And
was he grooving him in there because that's what guys do this time of year,
apparently he was not, Matt. It sounds like he was throwing a lot of different stuff at him in that at-bat.
No, there was, like, to me, like, well, I don't know, maybe Ranger Suarez is completely on another level than me. Like, right now for me, you know, I'm trying to get my stuff right, especially when I'm switching teams. You aren't switching teams, to me, you aren't switching teams and rolling over there and grooving fastballs or just going out there and getting your work in. There's still, no matter how much money you're making or how successful you are or how many All-Star games you've been in, you still want to show your new team you can pitch. So I do not believe in the fact that ball was grooved or he was letting them hit it or whatever the case may be. Some people are going to work on certain things, but somebody on a new team like that trying to make a first impression, no way, man.
Matt, like, if you're Connor, how do you think Connor Griffin's coaches, like all those Pirates coaches, are reacting, or what are they reacting to? The home runs, sure, but how closely are they paying attention to the way he like just works those at bats? His second home run was on an 0-2 pitch that was a complete miss up in the zone, and he obviously destroyed it to left center. But how much does the coaching staff and all the Pirates people look at the stuff that precedes the home run versus the hit itself in spring training? I mean,
well, I mean, you know, this is a kid who hasn't really been that above like a ball that long. So there's a lot. This is a big jump. That, you know, he's a 19-year-old kid and seems very mature, obviously, but like, it's a 19-year-old kid, and I don't know if it's being analyzed how he goes about every at-bat. I think it's just, you know, one thing is, you know, if you're going to bring him up and you're going to bring him up early in this season or, you know, perhaps after today, you got to think about bringing him north to start the season maybe. I don't know. That's the first, like, inkling of that being in my mind that it could happen. I think that you're just watching how he goes about his business every day, and are we going to – maybe hurt this kid by bringing him up, a 19-year-old up early in the season, rather than giving him another little bit of time to get better, I guess, and to mature and to make sure he's all right with it. So that kind of stuff's being watched probably every day, more so than every at bat, I would guess.
Matt, do the stats matter? Like, if he hits 400 or something like that in spring training, like, would that be an impetus for you to want to call him up? Like, how much does the actual production in the next 3 weeks factor into what you want to do with him?
Well, I mean, I would say before today there was like a 5% chance he was going to start the season with the team, in my opinion. And it's just because everything makes sense in the grand scheme of things of baseball and how it works with arbitration and everything. And the 5% chance I'll give it is, you know, that all that arbitration stuff gets thrown out the window a little bit if you sign him to a 9-year, 100-whatever-million-dollar deal, so then there's no arbitration, there's no free agency, what the Red Sox did with a lot of their guys. So that's a possibility. Now today, you know, the more the production comes, the more you have to at least put it on the area code. And it's not that they aren't going to start the year with him necessarily because he's not ready or they don't think he's the guy. Like he's their guy. You know that. But, like, the production comes, and it comes in a big way. Now, somebody can sit there and say, a negative person, well, he's batting .222 so far. Well, the other day he hit a ball into, like, a howling wind that would have been way out. And he got – and if there was replay, the ground ball he beat out, which just shows, like, this ability – it's like Mike Trout potential ability of speed and power. You know, he should have 2 hits the other day, and then he'd be batting, like, .500 right now. So, you know, there's always going to be naysayers in it. But I feel like – mega production makes things interesting, and I love it. I love that's making things interesting. Like seeing those two home runs today, you know, you're popping up on, you know, Pittsburgh's popping up all over social media and everything else. And you know, it makes it really exciting.
What do you think it's like being one of his teammates, just knowing what obviously the talent makes him capable of, and understanding, Matt, that, hey, this is a year everyone there wants to compete, that he might not be up for, say, a month to start the season because of stuff that's really outside of baseball? Like, how does that hit a clubhouse when you know that that might be the case with a guy?
Well, I mean, I think they got to be excited about it. Like this is a guy that can really, you know, be a major difference maker in a situation where the offense has been, you know, at least last year, the offense was the culprit of why you didn't win more games.
And you don't think guys would be ticked off if he starts at AAA and, like, Gonzalez was that short?
Right, that's what I meant, Matt. Sorry.
Okay. At Indianapolis?
You know, I think that everybody understands the business to an extent. I think you're going to run into that if you see multiple days like today, if that makes sense. Like, if you see a home run again tomorrow, and then all of a sudden he's a 3-for-4 with a triple, he's making great plays in the field, then it's going to be like, okay, what are we doing here? Let's just go. What are we waiting for? And I think that's like that went on the area code today, but a lot of things went on did his value go up for a potential long-term deal for somebody that's never been there in a 19-year-old today? Yeah, probably did, right? I mean, you think about it. Like I actually said to somebody today, I hope if you were trying to invest in his baseball cards, you bought them before today. Because those numbers went up astronomically.
Are you speaking from experience as a man who was trying to invest in his baseball cards?
Yeah, you know, I would have loved to have him wait like one more week so I could got more. But I've been going pretty hard at trying to get as many of them as I can right now, because I think that, you know, the exciting part for me, from a collector standpoint, but also the exciting part for me from the Pirates standpoint is, you have this avenue, there's this path, and you hate to keep bringing up this name, but like, he's right-handed, he's big, he's fast and powerful. Like, you could have Mike Trout here. You could. Will you? I don't know, but there's the chance. And how many people come up that you really compare to, like, Mike Trout?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the exciting part about the whole situation. I just love that, like, you know, speaking about from a baseball card perspective, right? Who would have thought I don't know how familiar you guys are with live breaks, where you bid on teams, that you go on these auctions, you bid on teams, and if when they open the packs, you get like every Pirate or every Met or whatever the case may be. I was thinking about this thing. Who would have thought the most valuable team to be bid on right now would be the Pirates, because of Skeens and Griffin?
Yeah, and
right.
I mean, Chandler,
they went
to
be like the last team.
Yeah, Matt. So, you mentioned this with his contract. I just want to put a finer point on this. If they couldn't get a deal done before the season started, okay, like he's resistant or his price is too high and they can't hammer out a long-term deal. If you were the Pirates, not looking at it from Griffin's perspective or how it would affect the locker room, if you were the Pirates, would you send him down no matter what because you're thinking about the big picture contractually with him?
You know, I can't argue if they do. If I was in charge, I don't know what I'd do. And again, it's going to be what this looks like the next 4 weeks, some of that. But I can't argue if they do. I understand that there's been, you know, you did it with Skeens, and he's the best pitcher in baseball right now. And sure, there's some grumbling as it happens. But when he gets here in May, and if he's the player he's supposed to be in May, everybody kind of forgets about that, and then they're happy they have him an extra year under contract. You know, the worry is, though, like, if he does, like, to me, and this kind of happened, in my opinion, this is a little bit of like I saw with Chandler last year, is the worry is you send him down after he just completely dominates big league hitting, if that happens, right? At big league pitching, if that happens, and you send him down. And then you have that, like, I've been there before, but not at his level of the best prospect in baseball. But, like, then you have that potential of, what if he doesn't get off to a good start? And then you're sitting there waiting to bring him up, and you're waiting for him to get hot. And that's kind of what happened with Chandler, right? He got off to a pretty good start. Then he kind of went in a rut. And then you really want him to come up after he's in the middle of a, you know, a 3-for-30 with, you know, 14 punch outs. Let's hope he never gets to that point. But, like, then you have that risk of that happening, and then your moment of impact for the team, for the town, for the playoffs, you know, it becomes a little bit more, you know, not as clear.
Matt Clement, not only a guy who knows his baseball, having played in the big leagues for a very long time, but also now a collector who's looking at it from that perspective and trying to amass and compile as many Connor Griffin cards as humanly possible. Matt, thanks for coming on. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.